the Ataka Quartet, which is in town to play to play specifically Beethoven, but we're going to hear a little Caroline Shaw in the midst of it too. Two members of the Ataka Quartet with me, and so that is Andrew Yee, the cellist. Hello, Andrew. And then Dominic Salerni, the violinist. Hello, Dominic. So let's get the elephant in the room right out of the way, and then we'll get back to everything else. The Caroline Shaw Project. Let's start with you, Andrew, because you're one of the founders of the quartet, right?
That's right, yeah.
So you've been around. So relationship with new music in general, but then Caroline Shaw in particular, she's a real force to be reckoned with right now, isn't she?
Absolutely, yeah. And she's also just one of the most kind people I know, you know. And so it's one of those things where she's so good at everything she does. She's obviously a great composer, plays the violin and viola really well, sings. She's in a group called Room Full of Teeth. She won the Pulitzer.
Oh, that's right. She is
composing,
yeah,
a piece for them called Partita for Eight Voices. And she's just really kind and really warm. And I think that's how we really were drawn to her music, is that as soon as you hear her music for the first time, you really feel drawn in, and you feel like you know her, like she's your friend. And now that she actually is our friend, I think it's one of those things where we can just tell you that she's exactly as cool as she sounds.
Yeah. Nice. And then in doing this album of her music, including the Grammy Award-winning piece that we'll get to later, did you beat the competition out? Were there other quartets also looking to do that? Were you wise? Were you close? What caused this magic combination to happen?
Were other quartets looking to do this particular project, are you saying?
Yeah.
You know, possibly. I mean, I know that there were a lot of quartets who put a couple of her pieces. I know that Valencia was on an album. I know that On Tract has been on a couple albums. We had the opportunity to play all of her music. We had a series called Recently Added in New York, where we played the complete works of living composers. And when we played Caroline's complete works, we just noticed that afterwards the audience was particularly spellbound and really speechless. And so it made sense for us to do it as an album, just because her music over the course of an hour, just listening to her music is a really cool thing to do.
And in the middle of each, and I should say the Ataka Quartet, I'm speaking with right now with Andrew, and we'll get to Dominic in a minute, doing these four concerts. That's tonight, tomorrow night, then you get the day off on Thursday to catch your breath, and then Friday and Saturday night, all at the Barrister Winery. So it will be a nice continuity there going on about that, but all doing essentially half of the Beethoven string quartets, and yet in the middle of each, of nearly every concert, you're putting a modern piece. You've done a lot with modern music, haven't you, in the course of your 17 years?
That's right, yeah.
And so talk about that. Talk about what made you uniquely do that. A love, savvy, what?
Every repertoire choice that the quartet makes is purely based on how much do we love it, and do the four of us love it. We've been talking this season, about, you know, a couple seasons from now, we're putting together programs with Dom, and so he can attest to this, that it's a really long process, and just sort of somebody says, like, I love this thing, and we bring it, and so, you know, we've done the complete Beethoven quartets, we've done the complete Haydn quartets, and also we have composers who are meaningful for us, who are living or at least recently living. And it's just something that it's not based on, like, oh, we need to feel balanced, or we need to make sure that we keep a certain amount of new music in our repertoire. It's just that just holds a big place in our heart. And so, especially right now with younger composers from the United States, is something that we feel very close to.
Thanks, Andrew Yee, the cellist of the Tataka Quartet, and violinist Dominic Salerni. You're the new kid, right?
That's right.
And so let's quickly dispense of a few of those things. The first thing, when the new person joins an established group, what's that vibe like? Is it weird? Do you have to scuffle to learn all their existing repertoire? How does that happen?
It's a funny question because this is the third time that I'm doing precisely that. I've been in two professional string quartets before this. for me, it's always a pleasure. I love learning about new people. I mm-hmm. also love learning new music. My father's a composer, so it's sort of in my wheelhouse. I knew about the Tataka Quartet going back to 2007 when I was at the Norfolk Summer Chamber Music Festival, and I remember the first time hearing these guys going, wow, what? I didn't know that a string quartet could do this. So mm-hmm. to sort of have somehow landed in amongst these awesome people is really a pleasure.
And then back to Andrew for just a moment. So does that give you a point to suddenly get a whole lot of new repertoire, even though I assume you also need to keep your existing repertoire well within you? How do you do that in bringing in a new person?
Well, I mean, I think the thing is that, you know, we made repertoire choices for present day. We made those about year and a half ago,
of course.
2 years mm-hmm. ago. So there's really not much you can do going forward. I think for, you know, in 2 years, we'll definitely have a sense of us as a quartet repertoire-wise. But right now, Dom is sort of living the choices that we made a while ago. Yeah. And so things like a Beethoven cycle, he's jumping in and doing a Beethoven cycle with us first year, which is an incredible way to get to know a group. And for us to get to know him, too, because the pieces are just so so complex and intimate and... It's just amazing.
Both of you, let's keep that conversation going for a little longer, because how much does then this new energy change what you had already decided 2 years ago in a rehearsal? And how's this work? Keep talking about that.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, just from my perspective, I think, you know, Andrew, Nate, and Amy have been incredibly open to anything that I might, any questions I might have, or, hey, what if, can we try this out, you know? And I also hope I'm not, you know, trying to contribute too much in that regard. But I also, you know, when four people kind of have a sense of things that is similar, you know, when you kind of bring that all together, you know, it's kind of amazing what comes out of that soup, you know? So I found it to be really fun, you know, and certainly stretching me in terms of, you know, artistic decisions, but it's just been really fun, and I think it's been a very collaborative process, and, you know, I'm learning sort of the Tataka style a bit, and yeah, you know, I'm just trying to bring it.
and your take on that question,
well,
Andrew?
Well, and I think that, you know, like any group, we do talk about ideas in rehearsal, but I think the easiest way to kill music is to talk about it. So it's not like we say, okay, Dom, now here are our bowings, and here's the places we take time. Here's where we, you know, we're thinking of this a little bit broader. We're thinking of this as sharp, and now let's play it for the first time. No, I think actually just having Dom sitting there, we're all reacting. So it's this being in a string quartet is this sort of like unspoken meeting of the subconscious that is just really beautiful. And so to have Dom be there with us is to know the Tataka way. It's not like he's learning us and we're learning him. The four of us are this thing.
And I presume it then becomes a great opportunity to get a new idea.
Absolutely,
on an old friend.
Constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the thing where I can sense something's happening. I'm like not ready to do it just yet. And I'm like, oh, that was so cool. Let's do it again so I can nail it. You know,
it's like, nice. And I think it's pretty interesting that in the program that you're opening with, you have like with the first quartet and then one of the really late ones. I guess that seems obvious that seem like a great way for an audience to come in at the entry level and then go to the ridiculous level, if we may call late Beethoven quartets ridiculous.
Beethoven.
Yeah. I don't know. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think I oftentimes like to imagine a concert like a meal. You know, uh-huh. you have something light like a cold cucumber thing, mm-hmm. with some like chilies or something that's really easy, and you get to something more a little bit more adventurous, and then you end with the thing that you may have actually come for but didn't realize, you know. And so so like 127, Opus 127 of Beethoven's is, you know, one of the great quartets of all time, and it also just works out that timing-wise, that's it'll be the best too, because we have two sort of shorter works, and then 127 is this grand statement. So, yeah.
But even the Opus 18 quartets are weird in their own way, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've often thought the Beethoven teen Opus numbers are almost like teenage energy, in a certain way, because he was trying some things, wasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like he was sort of figuring out, you know, because Haydn had really perfected the form at that point, mm-hmm. but Mozart was his hero. Mozart was his like Kurt Cobain he was obsessed with, and I think that he was trying to do something, but you know, Mozart was also trying to honor Haydn, and so there's this weird sort of like, you know, he thinks his teacher isn't very cool, Haydn, but he's sort of bound to him, and you see him sort of fighting with that or not fighting with it. Opus 18 number 2 is very much comes from that style of Haydn, but I mean, it's funny to watch him wrestle with that.
And these four quartets again. That's the one tonight that we were just talking about with Opus 18 number 1, that very first string quartet. Then Opus 127, the one I want to ask you to talk about. I think is on tomorrow night's concert, Opus 131, the quartet in C sharp minor, because it's not in movements, right? It's just one ever changing whole bunch of sections running from thing to thing. It's that one, isn't it?
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Are there ways that you kind of try to put the audience in a space to understand how to go with the flow on that particular piece? It's a kind of strange piece to encounter in your very first time.
I think the more you know about the quartet before you go in, the less authentic the experience.
Good.
In a way.
Yeah.
I think I remember the first time I heard Opus 131 was in Menlo, California. I heard the St. Lawrence Quartet do it, and I had never heard it before. And the quartet is just full of false endings and really surprising modulations, and it's an unbelievable journey, and it's one of the greatest quartets of all time. It might be the greatest quartet mm-hmm. of all time, and it just. It's sort of like the Mount Everest of quartets for string quartets. Once you get your 131 down, everything else just feels sort of pales in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think it seems really daunting when you think of it, because it's technically seven movements all the way through, even though it's one sort of gigantic chunk. But I think if you just sort of release yourself into the sound world, and just allow yourself to feel the emotions of the present. I think it's one of those things where you can't help but be swept up mm-hmm. by it.
Yeah, well, in the depth of it. And let's talk about the other two pieces that you're putting in between as your transition pieces, because tonight it's Gabriella Smith's Carat Revolution. Tell me about that. You want to say something about it, Dominique?
Sure.
Yeah.
this is Gabriella is a composer that I've become familiar with. I actually played a work of hers some years ago. So it's really cool to come to Carrot Revolution. I think just maybe a note about the title. I can't remember who, maybe Andrew can speak to this, but someone was saying in the artistic world, if one could, oh, was it Picasso?
It was a Cezanne.
Oh, so, Cezanne, that's right.
Yeah, it was in a fictionalized version of Cezanne said in a novel. What was it? Sort of, someday the day will come when an image of a carrot will start a revolution.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So it's sort of a wonderfully kind of picturesque way of getting to Gabriella's voice. she hears a lot of music and she's inspired by so many different things. So I think for her, it's like, how can we get from Bulgarian folk music to Perrotin, you know, sort of Renaissance music? And so she'll kind of get you into a texture, and she uses sounds that you might find more in a folk medium. So the whole piece opens with this sort of chop, check it, you know, that sort of thing. So you're kind of grooving along and you kind of get into the sound world, and all of a sudden, bam, we're somewhere completely different. So it's a really cool juxtaposition of styles, but there's a piece there. I mean, it's a real consideration of form and timing, and it's a cool work.
So that's the piece that's in between these two bookends, very literally, string quartets of Beethoven on tonight's concert. And then Friday night, Paul Bianco is somewhat known in our area for his time he spends as essentially the composer in residence up in the Cascade Mountains with a music festival there. So some of our listeners know of Paul Bianco, but go ahead and talk about him and the piece you're playing there.
Paul is one of my best friends. He lives basically just down the road from me in Brooklyn. And I got to know him when we were playing a gig together. I can't remember what the gig was. And just heard him like messing around with some ideas, and I could hear his sort of voice in his compositions. And He sent me a demo of a couple of his quartets, including one he wrote for the Aizuri Quartet called Lift, and that was before their album came out, and I was just like blown away. And it was basically a couple months after that I asked him to write a quartet for us, and so we talked for about a year and a half. We talked about what it would be and how long and what it would be. We knew we wanted him to write us a tone poem, basically. And so we found this story of a ancient Japanese story of a warrior named Benkei who used to go around collecting swords by defeating other samurai. And he was looking for his thousandth sword, and found a small child with a sword, and thought it was a easy target, and challenged him to a duel. And the kid beat him. He was the first person to ever beat him in a duel, and his name was Ushi Wakamaru. And so Benkei became his bodyguard, and the piece is about the two of them and about Benkei's sort of devotion to Ushi.
Can I project that Paul was probably pretty happy to have something to tie a composition onto by having that story?
I assume so. I mean, I know that he was talking to his mother, and who is Japanese, and she used to sing a song in elementary school about Ushi Wakamaru that he was hoping to include, but it was just so sing-songy and like, you know, like that kind of thing. And so he couldn't do it. But yeah, so like the story, and like he had done a school project on Ushi Wakamaru's brother, who eventually would become Shogun in sixth grade. And so this was very like tied to his past. And so I know it was really, special to him, and also because he had just come off writing a lot of other pieces, you know, for like horn and flute, and to come back to the string quartet for you know, a cellist is, he was, I think he was really happy to write this.
Yeah, and parenthetically, he has a sister involved with the Silk Road Project, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, Michi, so cool. Yeah. Michi's writing me a solo cello piece right now.
Nice, yeah, nice. And I like the subplot of the conversation we're having because it is, you folks, the Ataka Quartet, are in the middle or vortex or whatever of an awful lot of creative things going on in the musical world right now, aren't you? You know, you've already alluded to a few. It's pretty exciting, isn't it?
It's a great time to be in the string quartet, and it's a great time to just be open to so many possibilities. I think composers in particular are wrestling with the idea of finding individuality, finding voice, you know, considering the access we have to music and considering you know, what can be said. I think it's an incredibly exciting time.
And so this is the Ataka Quartet tonight, tomorrow night, and then Friday and Saturday night, all at the Barrister Winery for a whole lot. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for 9 Beethoven string quartets that will complete this project. Okay, I think we'll say that's the end of our high-minded public radio discussion. Now let's talk crass show business and have you tell about being at the Grammys.
Oh, the Grammys. The Grammys are really cool.
Yeah.
The Grammys are very cool, especially when you win. yeah, we all got to go, and it was, just so fun.
So the emotions, you're in that big room, and you know you're one of five potential winners or so in that category, and so you're preparing emotionally for every direction. What's going on?
I think we had only allowed ourselves to think of it as that, just sort of, oh yeah, we have, you know, at least a 20% chance. And so actually we hadn't written our acceptance speech until we were actually in the audience. And then we said, what if we win? And so we were passing a phone back and forth saying like, who are we gonna thank? And we were like typing down names. Mm-hmm. And I remember at one point I was like, oh, right, Caroline. And you know, you know, and but you know, and then they called her name, and it was an incredible rush, and went up to the stage and thanked people, and Amy did a really great job speaking for us, and went back and had photographs and interviews, and the televised portion that was later in the night was just so fun, and it was just it was an amazing party, and our hangover just ended a few days ago. it was unbelievable. It was so fun.
Andrew Yee, the cellist of the Ataka Quartet, and earlier Dominic Salerni, the violinist of the Ataka Quartet, and Amy being referred to, Amy Schroeder, the violinist, and then Nathan Schramm, the violist. The four of them in residence in town from now through Saturday night with those four concerts as part of Northwest Bachfest to conclude this series of the Beethoven string quartets. So thank you so much for being here. What a treat. You know, really engaging people and musicians that you are.